Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening or will be listening from around the world. We want to welcome those of you from India and those of you from Kenya and South Africa and Germany and the United Kingdom, Brazil, and other places around the world who listen to these broadcasts. We're happy to have you. We thank the Lord that we're able to be of some help to you in your walk through life with Christ, or if you're seeking Christ. Our message during this session is entitled Pentecost Resurrected. And the scripture is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. I'm, of course, reading from the New International Version, because we use this, then this allows all English-speaking people around the world to equally understand the words that are used in this translation. So beginning with verse 1, ending in verse 13 of chapter 2 of Acts, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" The Apostle Luke, being a man of medicine, a scientist, was a man who needed solid evidence before he would stamp his credibility on a matter. And it was Luke, as you recall, who wrote the book of Acts, where this is recorded. So these are the words we read that Luke penned when he wrote the book of Acts. Luke certainly managed to do this in his historic rendering in this book of the Acts of the Apostles. It's actually the name of the book. It's not just Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles. We will now peel a layer of this onion that you hear me talk about. Beyond the obvious story to the hidden story, the secrets of the kingdom, it is the glory of kings to search out a matter, we read in Proverbs 25:2. So we want to search this out. So many people, those who call themselves Christian and those who do not, seem unwilling to search out the matter of Pentecost and how what happened then continues today. Notice I used the word continues. I didn't say has cropped up again today. I didn't say has appeared again today. I said continues today. You see, many of these people, they choose to rely on their own understanding. And the scriptures clearly caution against that. But they choose to rely on their own understanding as the world relies on its own understanding. If you're a believer, you do not want to be relying on your own understanding. You want to rely on what the Holy Spirit tells you, on what the Word of God tells you, not your own understanding. That's what the world relies on, and that's why the world is deceived. Having little to do with understanding of history, they conclude, because they see little evidence. Now think of this, Today people conclude because they see little evidence of the reality of Pentecost as witnessed that day in Jerusalem way back when, back then, in those days, that those manifestations, people say, died out after the first century. I'm here to tell you, my friends, those manifestations never died out. So many people think they did, or people think that it was something that happened in 1901 and 1904 and 1906, in the early part there of the 20th century. Not so. Although, yes, there was a tremendous outpouring, a tremendous activity that happened in the Midwest and then on out in California and then up in Illinois and various places, these things did happen. But you see, this false line of thinking that things just sort of disappeared, this false line of thinking, unfortunately, leads to each person freelancing on the understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, my friends, is very important in the life of a believer. And as such, you cannot afford to freelance on your understanding of it, on your using of it as an excuse for something you do that maybe you were not told to do by the Spirit, but you just want to seem spiritual, so you say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. That's a very dangerous thing to do. That doesn't mean because someone said the Holy Spirit told him to do it, that the Holy Spirit didn't. What I'm saying is, you are indeed using God's name in vain if you do that and you weren't told to. The result of this has become those who call themselves true Christians agreeing with the crowd that day in Jerusalem. Now, what did that crowd say? It said, they've had too much wine. Note, this opinion came from those who had not experienced the wind and fire of the Holy Spirit themselves. Now, we hear about tongues of fire, and sometimes it will be depicted in artwork as tongues that are flaming. Understand, a tongue of fire is what you see on a candle. A tongue of fire is what you see on a small flame of that sort. So, they saw this fire come. They felt the wind. My wife has been in exactly a situation like that when she was on a mission trip in Mexico. She was in a little compound. And in the little compound where she was, the Holy Spirit was moving mightily. And there was this tremendous wind, but the wind was confined, wasn't it? And where was it confined to? Inside the compound where they were. Outside, there was no breeze hardly at all. But inside, trees were bending over inside the compound where she was. You see, the Holy Spirit had come in there and was outpouring there at that time. As a matter of fact, she laid there on the ground for some time, wringing another person's hand for a couple hours because she couldn't get up because the power of the Holy Spirit fell so mightily. You see, many people have heard me often say, a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. I find that most people who do not understand the Holy Spirit are willing to argue at the drop of the hat about it, about Him. They're going to tell you all the things that they have no idea of but think they know. Well, the people who misevaluated the events back then and now only had or have an argument. They don't have an experience. If you've experienced the Holy Spirit, you know that. You see, they've not searched out the matter. They've just heard somebody say, oh, well, the miracle things, they died out with the first century church. That when the last apostle died, that was the end of that. You cannot support that in Scripture anywhere. If Jesus Christ is indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can't say that the power of God working through people on this planet disappeared when the Apostle John died. You just can't say that. You see, and the Scripture predicted in the last days, read in Isaiah in some of these places, this prediction is there. Now, the last days were starting then. Now, we are right now at this time of year, this Sunday, is going to be celebrated in many churches as Pentecost Sunday. Now, why is that? Because Pentecost comes when? It comes 50 days after Passover. It was known as also as the Feast of Weeks. And so this is when it comes. Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days, and he ascended, and he said, "Tarry here in Jerusalem." And so that's what they were doing. They were there waiting. And they were all together when this magnificent event occurred. But beyond all that, when the story is told to the person who does not believe, they are given hope for themselves to place their trust in Jesus the Christ and to be saved, healed, delivered, which is what the original Greek word used, which was translated saved, was sozo, meant. Now notice, the very word itself shows the power of God. Saved, healed, delivered, preserved. There's the power of God. Paul wrote in Romans 15:18 through 19, quote, "I will not venture to speak of anything except that which Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around Iconium, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." Notice he said there, fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. To only say that the gospel of Christ, the good news, is the fire insurance that brings you in to heaven is to tell the truth, but to leave out a big part of what the gospel is and why we're not victims anymore. Let me give you an example of something that happened recently. Last week, we have a Bible teaching that I do in a local restaurant. And when we were all leaving, we meet there and we have lunch, and then afterwards, the restaurant closes, and then I teach for about an hour. And everybody paid for their meal, and we were the last to leave because we like to make sure that everybody has paid and everybody's left a tip. Believe me, if you eat in a restaurant where tipping is what's to be done, if you can't afford the tip, you can't afford the meal. Because that's how those people live. And Christians are thought of very, very poorly in most restaurants because they go in, they become very demanding, and they leave a quarter when they've spent a whole lot of money. And people who wait tables don't even like to be there. It's a poor witness to do that. But now I'm going to get back to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power here. The Holy Spirit's power here is that the person that owned the restaurant had a very sore right wrist. And they could hardly work. They could hardly do what they were doing. And it was swollen, and it was sore, and it felt terrible, and they were in great pain with it. And so I told them, I said, "Well, you don't have to be in that pain." I said, "Let me pray for you." Well, they were very willing to do that. So I put my hand around their wrist and I prayed and I commanded their wrist to be whole and healed, just as though it were in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. Because that's what Christ has done for us, restored us to that condition. And so I explained to her that was the case. And so when I prayed, she thanked me and we left. Well, today happens to be the day. The next week, then, we went in, and actually, I had nearly forgotten about having prayed for her. Because there have been a lot of prayers in that week for a lot of people between then and this day. And so we went back in, and so we did our usual thing, and then everybody had paid. And when they all left, then she starts saying, "You prayed for me, and I was healed." She said, "When you prayed, I didn't realize I was healed. But then I went to working around here, getting my work done, and realized, where'd the pain go? I don't have any pain anymore." And she says, "I haven't had any pain." That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the very thing that people will tell you can't happen. But I will tell you, I've had enough experience with the Holy Spirit working through me. That doesn't make me a big shot. Doesn't make if a pipeline's carrying something, the pipeline can't brag about what it is. It's what flows through it. I simply spoke the word of God over this person, and God did what he promised he'd do. He showed up, and he healed her. It's just that simple. But so many people will fight against that. They will tell you it was coincidence. It was all sorts of things. But she said, immediately after we left, when she started working, she had done two or three things, and then she went, wait a minute, I'm not in pain. I have a friend, Riley Stevenson, who prays for people like that. When he finishes praying, he says, where's the pain? And they'll start to tell him where the pain is, and they'll realize the pain's gone. You see, any believer can do that very thing. You need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to let the Holy Spirit into you so he can flow through you. And Paul said that he fully proclaimed all there is in Christ. That's what we're doing. If we lay hands on somebody for healing, that is a type also of fully proclaiming the good news. Believe me, it's good news if you're in pain and the pain's gone. Very good news. Yes, a new believer may have the Holy Spirit in them, but may never actually have experienced the power that only comes through a Pentecost experience. Now, what do I mean there? I mean, if you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you, but you are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit necessarily. You must invite the Holy Spirit in. The Holy Spirit will come. Why? Because God's not a man that he should lie. He says it, and he does it. So the new believer may not have the Holy Spirit in them except to, in just the Holy Spirit being there to maybe guide them, but not in the power part. And there's ample time in times that you will see in the New Testament where it tells about that, where some people said, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And others said, well, we've not even heard of this. So this is something that needs to happen with you if it's never happened. In a minute, I'm going to talk to you about if it has happened. We're going to talk about that too. See, this is the reason so many believers live lives as victims rather than victors. You may be living a life as a victim rather than a victor. If you're living a life of despair, you're living a life as a victim. If you're living a life where you feel like nothing's ever going to get any better, you're living life as a victim. You're abdicating the very power that God put in you to the enemy to destroy you. If that's the case. Even many who claim to have, many people who claim to have a Pentecost experience do not practice drawing upon it because they have not remained in or ever had their minds renewed in the biblical worldview and understanding. You see, yes, the Holy Spirit in power comes as a gift. But if you still don't grow in the knowledge of the Scriptures and the knowledge of God, you'll still be of little effect. You'll still be finding yourselves bounced around and kicked around because you do not know how to operate in the kingdom. You must learn how to operate in the new kingdom in which you're in. You say, well, it's not a new kingdom to me. I don't care if you've been here in this kingdom for 40 years. If you've never learned how it works, you're no different than the person that's been there one day. Maybe worse off, because you may have bad habits. You may have false learning and bad learning. And you may just feel like nothing's ever going to get any better in my life. Well, the reason it's not going to get better is because you won't allow it, because you remain ignorant of the Word. I would say you don't want to do that. So many who claim to have a Pentecost experience, they don't practice it because they've never grown in their knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is given by the asking in faith to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. He will come. But that's still, you still have some things that you must do. And I've seen some people run around very foolishly because they've never learned how to use. Would you hand a gun to a child and let them just run around? No, you'd want to teach them how to use it. Why? Because it's powerful. You need to know how to function with the Holy Spirit, or more accurately, how to allow the Holy Spirit to function through you. You need to know when to open up your belly so the living water flows out, so the power of God flows out. But so many people, they'll have an experience, or they'll come to Christ, and suddenly they think they've arrived. They know all they never need to know. And that is very unfortunate, because many people live lives far below what the Lord has ever intended them to live. It's important to remember that the Spirit came and the power came to them because they were, as Christ had told them, to remain until this happened. So they were right there. And they remained until it happened. This, again, was on a feast day, the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not going to go into how important this is on the feast days, but when you look at all the feast days they had and the various things that God has brought about on feast days and the life of Christ involved in feast days, it's a fascinating thing, but that's for another time. Right now, we're talking about, if you have experienced Pentecost, we're talking about resurrecting it in your life. Oh, we're not talking about resurrecting Pentecost itself, because Pentecost doesn't need resurrection. But it may need resurrected in you. You may need to pull it out from whatever little cabinet you've buried it in someplace, dust it off, and function. We now live in a time when we need to heed the words of the prophets and recognize that these are the days of power being thrust back into all believers. Now, why would that be if the power has always been there? Well, it's being thrust back because the awareness and the understanding of it is greater now than ever before. Who will accept God flowing through them in power to demonstrate the truth of God's word to a lost, floundering, and dying world? Will you? Will you either accept it for the first time or allow it to be rekindled in you, to allow that flame to turn into a huge bonfire that's in you? You see, these are the days foretold so long ago. Believer, if you're not drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit, either because you have never experienced the infilling or have ignored the Spirit's power available to you, take action immediately. Take action immediately. We must not be slow of heart in this hour, for we have more Scripture. You see, we have more Scripture now to understand than we've ever had. We have more events to understand now than ever were. I mean, just the one story I told you, if that was the only thing that had happened in this whole last week, there's one more event to explain, to show, to demonstrate. Now, this person is testifying to us, I'm sure testifying to other people close to them. This is encouraging, you see. When the Holy Spirit shows up, believe me, you'll want to talk about it. People, I don't know, my faith is just so personal to me. Let me tell you, if your faith is so personal to you that you won't talk about it, you don't have a faith. You have a philosophy. You don't understand Christ. You've just got a philosophy that sounds good to you. Because we were called to be active. We weren't called to be passive. We weren't called to be sitting in some corner someplace, just contemplating all the wonderfulness of what we've learned. We were called to step out and do something with the power of Christ in us. When Christ was here, I mentioned this in previous teaching, when Christ was here doing what he was doing, he was here in one body, traveling around with that one body, doing that. And even when he was miraculously born of a virgin, he still had to grow up. This is what amazes me when people think they don't have to grow up in the Lord and understanding of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did. The Father didn't send him here as a full-grown person. He sent him here as a child, just as we came into the earth, but through an immaculate conception. And that's how he came. We must understand that we must grow. We must allow the Spirit to work in us. We must not be slow of heart in this hour, for we have this more scripture to understand. We have more events under our belt, behind us. Back then, 2,000 years ago, people accepted the Spirit as a given. Pentecost power was readily seen and sought in the body of Christ for all who were not slow of heart to function in the Word and receive it. Today's no different. The Holy Spirit is still revealing and demonstrating this truth. The Holy Spirit is still doing that this very day. Now, I'm going to do something that you don't often hear me do, and I'm going to recommend a book to you. I don't care. I mean, I do care, but it doesn't matter if you're a believer or not a believer in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a book by a man named Eddie L. Hyatt, H-A-Y-A-T-T. And the name of that book is 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. You need to read that book. You need to find out the real history of how the power of the Holy Spirit wasn't often shown in the church, because the church became an organization with a hierarchy like a corporation. The church became, under Constantine, the official religion of the realm. And then it became a political organization instead of an organization of power and might, a liberating organization to set people free. You need to read about this. You need to find this out. You need to find out that, yes, there were magnificent things that happened in Azusa Street, and I'm not taking anything away from that. But I'm saying that, do you know that there was hardly any charismatic congregation in the world 100 years ago, and now it has nearly swept and totally encompassed the globe with people who are filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit in them? This gift brought to them through Christ, as He said He would, the gift of the Spirit. That's the gift that you want to function in. That's the gift that your neighbors need you to function in. That's the gift your sick relatives need you to function in. Not the gift of blab and gab, but the gift of power and might. The gift that demonstrates that when the Word of God is spoken, God confirms it with signs and wonders. Signs and wonders have been here since the very time when God said, "Let there be light," and they will be forever because God is forever. And we have been so fortunate that God has chosen us to carry that same power that He placed in Jesus. Read John chapter 17, the last part of it. Jesus gave this to us. He gave us the glory. Then He sent the Holy Spirit just as He said He would. We are not victims. We are victors. If you feel like a victim, you either need to accept Christ and find out that you're not, or you need to repent as a believer for falling away and fainting, and get back in step with exactly what Christ has called you to do and be. When the Father drew you to Him, and when the Holy Spirit came to you, and if you've been infilled and indwelled with the power of the Holy Spirit, use it. That's how you testify. Believe me, here's a person who's done probably almost no testifying in their life, and a little thing like a hurting wrist. A little thing like a hurting wrist. It was a big thing to her. She couldn't get her work done. And now, she's testifying. This is a person who rarely, sometimes, will go to church because they have to work so hard to keep their businesses going and things of this sort. But did God say, "Well, I'm not going to do this because of this and this"? No. God confirmed His Word. I said, you don't have to be sick. You don't have to be in pain. And now she's not. Now, it was the power of God that did it. But it was a person who allowed the power to flow through them. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. And that same power can and will flow through you. I am not that unique. He meant for you to do it too. So, my friends, the Holy Spirit is still revealing and demonstrating the truth. Believers, you're not victims. You are victors. And that's my message for this time together.